Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, and of course, Happy New Year!
Hey, hello.
To the Curb Your Enthusiasm After Show. Very excited to be here. Myself, Christian Blatt, joined by Flubble Boys.
That's me!
James Maple.
Hello.
And Rachel Goodman.
Hey, everybody.
We're at full power now. We have everyone.
Yeah.
We're all the different parts of Voltron, and now we are able to actually defend the universe properly.
We're a power-rangers guy my age. I love
it. That's all right. I get it. You're younger than me, but it doesn't matter. It's okay. Here, look, we got to start off. We're going to have to delve right into the important issues covered on this episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, episode 3 in season 10, Artificial Fruit. I don't like scones. I do not enjoy them. I've always felt that they're so dry, and I just don't understand why. Scones, why? Rachel, you seem to have thoughts on scones.
I do, because yeah. I am not a fan of American scones, but yeah. I love English scones.
What do they do? Okay. Like, soak them in pig fat or something? Because that seems to be their solution for everything
over
there.
It's like a completely different pastry. So that's number one.
Is it moist?
It's very moist.
Is there something inside?
Mm-hmm. It's very moist.
Because I understand that like at high tea, you're supposed to like spread jelly on it. But now you've given me homework. Just give it to me with the jelly inside. Jelly donut. Perfect.
There you go. Yeah, well, here's the thing, too, is that, so scones, yeah, very dry. So are English scones to an extent, there's like a buttery quality to them American scone.
Yeah. The thing about donuts and like other kinds of fried dough, because I am a fried dough aficionado, you can have them straight up no chaser. Scones really are designed to have with a hot beverage, like coffee or tea.
They may seem
dry off the top, but I'm telling you, man, they're a perfect compliment. That brings out the notes of your coffee.
Well, I have an admission.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, please.
I have an admission to admit to you all.
James has a secret.
And I'll be 33 in March, March 25th.
Wow.
I have never, in almost 33 years, had a scone in my entire life.
Somebody come book a joke.
I've never had one for the reasons we just mentioned. They look dry AF.
It's like, hey, look, somebody took a doorstop and put some blueberries in it.
Yeah,
that
is not true.
I'm good.
I won't say I'm good on prejudice.
I'm good on sawdust today. I'm okay with the scone.
No, just respect to scones out there.
I mean, they look dry.
I love that Larry gets this guy to get out of retirement, and he makes what Larry is convinced is the best scone he's ever had. And yet in the episode, no one likes it.
Of course.
Everyone who has it throughout the episode.
I love the setup there.
I did think that was very funny.
I love that when he goes and gets this guy out of retirement, the first thing we hear is like Quentin Tarantino, like Kill Bill music, as if this is revenge.
Yeah.
And then all of this. And then it's so anticlimactic because nobody wants these scones.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll probably deal with this in the future because Larry has gotten this guy out of retirement and he's his scone maker.
Sure.
But look, if he's making better scones than Mocha Joe, I feel like that's going to help. I don't know how anybody's eating it.
Justice for scones.
Moving on to the next. Again, we're hitting all the hot button issues. I am of the firm belief that eggs need to be served with toast. You can opt out of the toast, but the default needs to be toast.
Oh.
Now, your toast can include the English muffin, the bagel, that's fine. But some kind of...
Well, how is bagel toast? You have a toasted
bagel.
You have a toasted bagel. Bagel's not toast.
But it's a bread option.
That's toasted.
Yeah, it's typically toasted.
All right.
I know. Not in Brooklyn, they don't toast your bagels.
They do. I'm just saying.
According to New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, toasted bagels are delicious.
He's not New York. He's not.
He's very delicious. He likes ska and he likes toasted bagels. That's all you need to know.
Whatever the kids are into.
Yeah. So... I don't understand, like, the bowl of eggs that has, like, the, you know, I don't know. It's not just an omelet. You know, it's here's the egg bowl. Great. Love that you gave me that.
Where's the toast? Yeah. I am Team Larry on this. Flubbo, you seem to be the contrarian.
I know.
I think I'm going to have to sit next to you next week.
No.
I'll be in the corner over there outside the studio.
Banished.
Broadcasting live from the other end of the studio.
It's possible.
The idea is this. I like eggs with some sort of carb. Maybe it's like home fries. Maybe it's like, you know, potatoes. But if there's no toast, I'm not putting my hand up and saying, excuse me, I need my English muffin here. That doesn't make any sense
to
me.
Now you've brought me to a subtopic. Hash browns all day, home fries never. Okay. What were you going to say?
Oh, man. Ooh. Well, first of all,
the hash browns. Battle lines have been drawn.
Yeah. I love both of those things.
Good for you.
I will take my
I'll eat all these things. Yeah. But, you know, given the option, I'm like, well, no, why are you asking me if I want home fries if you have hash browns? That's just crazy talk.
My thing is, it's like, Larry, do you want him to spit in your food?
True.
Like, be a little kinder to to the person serving you the food.
That's right.
Regardless of whether he should have gotten his toast or not.
Yeah.
So I'm all about the, you know, treat the people helping you the way you'd want to be treated.
But Rachel, do you need to serve eggs with toast?
No.
Oh, thank goodness I'm not going crazy here.
No, you do not.
I think we have a divided panel because I'm with you on this.
Yes!
Of course you serve eggs with toast. What kind of blasphemy is this?
You can allow the customer to opt out. You're like, you know what? I'm doing a no-carb thing.
I
get fruit on this? You know,
absolutely.
That's fine. But your default has to be it comes with toast.
Without request.
And then you switch it up if you need to.
Here's my thing. It's not like he was at a diner where he was ordering scrambled eggs with toast and hash browns. This was different. This was a different kind of egg dish, and I don't think that it needed toast.
And toast was probably listed a la carte for $12.50.
Probably.
I completely get it. It's probably
that's
the case.
Not too far off.
Yeah, but I agree with Larry, and the audacity of him to order toast was not well received.
Speaking of audacity,
here's what I understand even less than that: artificial fruit.
Yeah.
As a decoration, did anybody grow up in a home with artificial fruit? You know, because I've seen it. I've definitely seen it other places.
Yeah.
But it was never something that we had. And look, artificial fruit never looked like you should eat it.
Right.
But if you have it like it should be, you know, the way that that Susie had it and the way that the lawyer had it, I think you got to put like a cover on it or something.
Yeah.
Or maybe like do not eat. I don't know, something on there.
Here's the thing. Okay, we did not have artificial fruit when I was growing up, but we went through plenty of, you know, those, like, model homes that did have it.
Sure.
And so you pick it up. It does not feel like a piece of fruit, number one. Number two, I have never myself bitten into a piece of artificial fruit, but I call foul on the fact that it would break someone's tooth like that.
There's a lot of things that call foul in this episode.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
I distinctly remember the artificial fruit being, like, made of styrofoam. Like you pick it up and it feels like air.
Well, we have plastic ones.
It was like kind of waxy.
The problem is it's so tacky. It's like covering your couches in plastic. So like they find people in these adjusted neighborhoods having artificial fruit. Seems kind of weird to me. Like what, they have flamingos outside too? It's just weird. Yeah.
By the way, little known fact, Rachel talking about going through all the model homes, she grew up as a part of a family of squatters.
They didn't
have anywhere to live.
Little known fact.
They would just wander Eastern Pennsylvania. They would stop off at Wawa and then go to a model home.
That's
and
a
then
dope movie.
By the morning they would duck out.
We'd take our Wawa coffee, go into homes after everyone would leave these model homes and just hang out for the night. No one knew.
No one got hurt.
Yeah.
It wasn't somebody's actual home, it was a model home.
That's what you call rent control.
Right.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. And I thought it was very funny how it was used as a device, the artificial fruit. That was fine. But, you know, look, I bring the real world with me. I can't turn off my brain when I watch this show.
Right.
And there was a lot of outrageous things dealing with food. But worst of all is where do you put the food when you're done with it? Well, you know, if you're not going to eat, you usually throw it in the trash can. This idea of trash cans that you can't actually put trash in, the lawyer's one kind of made sense. This is an office. Mm-hmm. That's for paper. Mm-hmm. And look, I have the rare occasions where I've had an office or even a shared office. If somebody like throws their tray, the remains of their lunch in your trash can, you're like, now my office is going to smell like that all day.
Yeah.
I actually had taken the bag and thrown it in the bathroom trash because I'm like, I don't want to smell what they ate for lunch.
Right.
So I get it on that level. But why is it there?
Yeah.
And so I forget Richard Kind's character's name is Andy, I think.
Yeah, it's Cousin Andy.
I think it's Cousin Andy, yeah. So the fact that they have the trash can on display to show off, but then the actual trash is in the pantry. Yeah. I don't know. Look, there's a lot of crazy things that happen on this show, but this is one of the craziest. What do you think about this, James?
I am on your team 100%. Yeah. Don't have a receptacle unless you want me to use said receptacle.
I know. It's like, oh, it's not even lined. Well, that's your fault.
That's my thing. Like, yeah. Why you have it out? Where am I supposed to find this hidden, mysterious trash can that you have hidden away in the pantry, huh?
that's true.
I see a trash can that looks hungry. I'm throwing my crap in there.
A hungry trash can?
You know what I mean?
The worst public access cartoon I've ever seen. No, yeah. I get you, man. That's one of the things I'm most nervous about being in someone's house, besides where the bathroom is,
yeah.
is where the trash. You're eating. You're that slob now. You're asking where to go, and they give you so many rules. I went home to Brooklyn about a year ago, and my dad didn't tell me. But he was like, oh, the smell of trash was too much for his nostrils. He mm-hmm. started putting trash in the freezer until trash day. So you could imagine me coming home. Hold on. You imagine me coming home, putting trash in the trash, and getting reamed out. He's like, hey, don't be stupid. Put the trash in the freezer. I'm just like, that doesn't make any sense.
It's level, the trash can is for the ice cubes. Come on.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Is this like a top freezer or like a bottom freezer?
It was like a separate freezer. But the idea was, like, are you kidding me?
That's a first.
Yeah, so I get Larry's frustration, being like, what are the rules in this house?
Yeah, well, especially, I mean, he's a guest, obviously, kind of, sort of. Yeah. And the fact that, okay, you see this trash can, where else would you put the trash in any other home?
Right.
And if they're worried about it smelling, I can't see the pantry being a better place for it. Though I didn't take it like that was the whole point. I thought that they were trying to be more green somehow.
Well, I thought that's what they were doing, but then, you know, it didn't follow logically from there. And maybe
it doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe that's the problem when your show is loosely scripted like this one. You know, they didn't actually carry it out, you know. But yeah, I don't know. That was just crazy. Yeah. But I think one thing that we can all agree about is that we wish we lived in a world where we would actually get to see Ted Danson starring as Robert E. Lee in the Lee film. I mean, how great would that be? You know, I mean, I would love to see that at some point. But I thought it was great that they shot some.
Ted
Danson's amazing. He's an amazing actor.
It was believable, too. I could see him as Robert E. Lee, number one. Two, I love how he had made a comment. Larry had made a comment earlier when he was looking at the picture of himself with Cheryl, where he was like, that's like honoring a Confederate war monument.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I loved how we had the callback to that when we see Ted Danson as Robert E. Lee.
And of course, Larry attacking.
Yeah.
For freedom.
Speaking
of the photo of Larry and Cheryl, this is an interesting sort of debate. So you have two instances in this episode. Well, three instances, but two objects. One, the framed photo of the Greens, both Susie and Jeff, and then the what were at that point the Davids, Larry and Cheryl. And he didn't, he said that that's a very painful photo for him, so don't have it. And, you know, Susie, of course, isn't going to budge. I understand this as a concept, but I've never seen this actually in real life, you know, where someone's like, well, we need to, you know, take away those photos. I thought it was very interesting, but what did you think about this, James?
I thought it was interesting, too. I have been in situations where you have certain people coming over and you're like, oh, let me get rid of this. But it's always based on, like if I... we have like a dog die or something like that.
Sure.
Have like someone, I totally understand that. But this instance, I'm like, I would have sided with her. I'm like, nah, it's my house.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to man up. You took the photo.
I agree.
It brought back good memories to her. So I'm like, how are you coming, Larry? How are you coming to her house telling her to take down stuff? Uh-huh. Last week he's putting paintings up. Now he's taking pictures down.
Yeah.
What's going on with him?
Yeah, that's crazy.
I almost feel like she put it up to be difficult, though.
Probably.
But I do agree. Like, otherwise, I don't see the huge issue considering it was a memory for everybody. Yeah. But it's awkward because it's like, you know, what do you do in a situation where everybody knows, you know, like it's not just everybody knows everybody and is kind of friends with everybody. So what do you do in that circumstance? I don't think it's such a big deal for them to have it up, but I kind of understand Larry at the same time. And if it did really genuinely hurt his feelings, which I almost feel like he was trying to be difficult too.
I felt a little bit of that.
A little bit.
So the photograph is one thing. But then the sweater is another thing entirely. So he doesn't want the sweater anymore. So he gives it to Richard Lewis. That's fine.
Right.
I don't think Richard Lewis needs anybody to give him a sweater. But although he does always look a little cold, so maybe.
Yeah.
But he then wears it to lunch, which we'll talk about that lunch in a little bit. And then Cousin Andy goes out and finds where the sweater is available and also gets one. So I think that's even less egregious than Richard Lewis is wearing the actual sweater that Cheryl gave him. Andy just liked it and went and got one. I don't know. Flobo, you seem to, everything seems to, I don't know. We seem to be on different sides of everything today. So where
Skulls
do you,
are great.
What do you think about this this sweater gate 2020?
I gotta be honest with you. If you give me someone's sweater, I'm not going to wear it when I see you, knowing the circumstances.
Right.
I think their relationship around food is weird as enough. We'll get to that in a minute. But I would be like, you know what? I'm going to wear this for another occasion with other friends because I just know the reason why I got it was because he's difficult. But if I'm actually wearing it at an event, don't try to rip it off my body, you know, in front of
literally.
My wife.
Yeah.
You know.
And he's also at the restaurant, he's trying to rip it off of Richard. What do you think of all this, Rachel?
I feel like, I don't think Richard, I feel like it wasn't done on purpose. And so it was just kind of like maybe he liked the sweater and he just happened to be wearing it. Mm. I do think it's a little odd that he just decided to wear that specific sweater when he met up with Larry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was really awkward watching Larry, like, you know, take it over the top the way he always does and go over and try to rip it off. But, you know, it's characteristic though. So it's like, I don't know what else I would have expected with that situation.
What do you think, James, about the sweater?
Sweater to me, I feel like I would wear it. I would wear it. I mean,
knowing that it annoyed your friend or brought back bad memories.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have given it to me. Yeah, you didn't want me to wear it.
That's how I feel about it. Like, it's my sweater. Like, it had its memories air in the past. It's got a new owner now. It's got a new vibe.
I'm making new memories with it.
Right. You know? That's how I feel about it. It's kind of like the picture. Like, no, you know, the memories are done. Let them go. Same with the sweater. Memories are done. Let it go. I'm rocking a sweater. It looks fly.
Sweater definitely looked fly. I mean, there's no arguing with that. What were you going to say, Rachel?
Can I just say, in the first place, if I had been Larry, I wouldn't have gotten rid of the sweater because it's a nice sweater and it doesn't matter who gave it to you or what, like, the circumstances are. It's still your sweater, and if it's nice, it's nice.
Yeah. Also, if it bothered him so much, why was he wearing it on the day when he gave it to Richard?
You know?
It's just like, if it bothers you, either get rid of it or, I don't know, put it away in the back of the closet where you have the clothes that make you cry about your ex-wife, you know, so when you have one of those emotional days.
Like,
which
donate it to, like, donate to someone that you don't know.
Yeah.
Salvation Army.
Yeah. Don't give it to another millionaire comedian in Beverly Hills, you know?
You know how Larry feels about giving.
Wow. Let's talk a little bit about Larry's generosity. There's big generosity, but let's talk about the smaller generosity first. We were talking about the lunch with Richard Lewis.
Yeah.
And how determined he was to pay for lunch. And I don't think it's because he's doing the generosity, the greatness of his heart. Yeah. I think that's more about, like, this guy makes me look bad. He always pays. Because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
You know? If there was, like, if they didn't know whose credit card it was, Larry would be like, oh, I don't care. But he's so determined to do it. And the lengths in which he goes to.
Pretty extreme.
Going to the wake. To give the... So you're going to be working tomorrow? Can I just give you my credit card? And of course, he and Rich are going to fight over it. Sort of the entire giving the credit card, disrupting the wake, and then obviously not having it, not being able to pay ahead, and then Richard gets to pay anyway. So the way all of that played out, what did you think, Rachel?
So first of all, his mispronunciation skills with a Z.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah. That was, to me, the most hilarious part is that he's trying to tell other people how to pronounce these words. And he's just completely off. Even before the chipping of the tooth.
Right.
But then also just the fact that he would go. Not even, like, he's so concerned about, oh, no, he always pays. I need to pay. That he completely disrespects a wake and doesn't even care that Francisco is mourning.
Francisco.
Oh, sorry.
The Castilian pronunciation.
Yeah.
And having been to that region of Spain, by the way, it's like I didn't sound like Spanish. Yeah. I had no idea what anybody was saying.
It was a little strange. I have to say, you guys know, as I told you last week, I work in service industry.
Yeah.
Yes. For years.
Yeah.
that is such a moment of like, as a server, when you have two people who are like, no, I want to pay. I'm like, yo, you keep your family business like at the table. This has nothing to do with me. Bro. And people will go to extreme lengths. This one time I had this guy follow me into the restroom.
Yikes.
To give me his credit card to ensure that he would pay the bill instead of his father-in-law. Like, people go insane to make sure that they have this, like, I don't know if it's like an alpha male kind of thing or like I'm the big dog.
Well, ask yourself,
time.
Alpha male, is it? I don't know.
I mean, I'll take free food from anybody. I don't care. Pay away. If you want to pay, pay. I like free food.
Yeah.
But the lengths that people go to like make sure they pay are pretty extreme.
Absolutely. Yeah.
James, would they even, like, as a server, would they even accept a credit card even an hour early? That was my other. Oh, really?
Yes. Okay. I have worked in places that, like, they've gone to lengths where you have like a credit card authorization form and you do it that way. But I've had people come in who like will come in, like, let's say they work down the street, they'll come in during their lunch break and drop off their credit card and know they're going to come into dinner later on. So it definitely does happen. And people, like I said, people go to pretty extreme lengths to make sure like I'm alpha at the table.
Yeah, I've obviously never picked up a check, but I've picked up for me. And I've had a boss, you know, arrange that that my dinner would be taken care of. Mm-hmm. So I've had that happen. So I know that there are places that do that. And yeah, it was made, you know, days in advance.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of times that's, you know, a restaurant when you have somebody's information on hand. But yeah, coming in the day before with the actual card and saying, hold it. Not like, oh, can you, I don't know, they don't use those carbons anymore, but can you take down the number? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some way to like, oh, yeah, I don't know, take a picture of it or whatever. Yeah. I just want to pay. Now, on the day, I've never followed a server into a restroom, despite what you may have heard about me. But I will say that I'm going to the restroom and then, you know, kind of hunt around and be like, he's going to want to pay, but I'm going to go ahead and give him.
Right.
And it's sort of like with Richard Lewis, where my father-in-law always pays for all of us all to go out. And so, like, once every, I don't know, I've been with my wife for 15 years. So, you know, once every 5 years, I think I pay.
Oh, that's nice.
But I make sure that, you know, it's
in the calendar. Yeah. Like, pay this time.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. This is
payment anniversary.
I'm going to come to some opposite point. It's like, I like free food more than anybody else, but there's certain friends that I have.
You never
that
picked up a check when I'm with you.
What? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I mean, because we always disagree about scones.
That's true.
I'm still on that. It really hurts my heart. No, but there's certain friends I have that they pay, you know, 2-3 times in a row. You're right. Like, well, I don't want to think that I'm like a charity case. Like, yeah. I do have a job, yeah, somewhat, you know, let me just look, go out the way.
I'm always happy to just split it down the middle. And sometimes, look, it depends. If it's an expensive enough meal and everybody had, you know, a ton to drink and say I didn't, that's when I'm like, well, let's actually do the math. But usually it's like, yeah, let me just split it. When it's the, I'll get it this time, you get it next time, that's usually okay. But sometimes it's like, you know, well, we're at a fancy restaurant the time that I'm paying, aka Denny's. But when Flobo pays, we're at Del Taco.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm out like easily $5 to $8.
Yeah.
And
well, your stomach is full, is all that matters.
That's true.
So you're paying for the experience.
I feel like, though, if you're with friends and you have to like nickel and dime things, you're like, it's time to get some new friends.
Yeah.
Like, also, I had half of that macaroni and cheese, and you had a
what is it when you have a party of like 8 people, and then somehow it's like, can you split it amongst these 9 credit cards?
Yeah.
That does that happen?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. I've had one person pay with 3 credit cards for one tab. I'm like, why? You shouldn't be eating out if you need to like put a third on here and a third on here. Let me tip you in cash. Well, oh wait, there's another third.
And I
put this card again.
I put a second mortgage on my house. Yeah. Can I put the tip on the mortgage?
No, we don't take mortgages. Thank you. See, I'm kind of with Larry on this for a different reason. My like take out the alpha male situation,
sure,
and I would rather be the one who pays than the one who gets paid for. Because it's just so, like, I don't know if this is just me, but it is so uncomfortable when I feel like you kind of owe someone money if they're paying for you. So it's like, okay, no, like, just let me do it. Like,
But we're not all accomplished authors. We can't all
that
pay.
Is true.
But after the season finale and we all go out to after show lunch, we know who's paying.
I have the water girl
right here.
Late lunch at 3 o'clock in a few weeks.
I had the club soda and broccoli.
Exactly. Let us know in the chat what you think about all of this. Even if you're not watching live, you can leave a comment on the archive version.
Absolutely.
And we will focus on that. So let's talk about Larry's bigger generosity, his court mandated, well, not exactly court mandated, but you know, sort of part of the negotiation with his ongoing lawsuit with Alice. He makes a very large donation to Cousin Andy's wife, I guess, is involved with the I forget the name.
Survivor United?
Survivor United. Yeah, that's it. So she's just stunned at how generous he was because he's someone not known for his generosity.
Because you're known for other things.
It was almost offensive how stunned she was.
Well, his face. Look, Larry reacts badly sometimes when you don't think he should, but that was one like, oh, yeah, no, that's a total backhand comment.
Right.
And I expected that to come back, by the way, like that his donation was because of the lawsuit. Like, mm-hmm. that actually never came up, at least not in this episode.
Yeah.
So that surprised me. So... the donation, okay, you can get that. And then he's going to do the speech. Sure, I mean, he's a very funny guy. I understand the idea of, like, you're going to have Larry David speak. But the doodle.
Oh, Lord.
Like, he didn't want to do the doodle. Mm-hmm. And you're making him do the doodle. And then you literally take the doodle and throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Flubbo, that's something you would do, isn't it?
No, the artwork, I would totally... No, yeah.
I totally would.
Yeah, you know what? Sometimes as someone who can't draw, everything you do, you put up there and say, please don't hate me so much for it. But there was no effort in there. And the fact you try to defend it as being abstract, it's whatever you want it to be. It's a telltale sign.
It was a two with a bunch of lines on it.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that abstract.
It was a pattern.
Maybe it was a snake.
Yeah. I was getting more of an S.
Yeah. What were you going to say,
Diamondback.
Rachel?
I was more worried about what he was going to say in that speech.
Look at that little doodle.
Here's the thing, it's like a roller coaster
meets a dragon.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. You know, I understand this was like his interpretation of doodle. He could have put a little more effort into it. He didn't have to be. In all fairness, when we looked at everybody else's, those were not doodles.
Yeah. That was incredible.
Yeah. Christine Lottie saying it was 20, maybe 30 minutes
maybe
for that.
I mean,
it was like she was like, "Oh, here's like a a Van Gogh. Go ahead and you can sell it."
She colored it in. Like that's not 20, 30
that's
minutes.
That's not a doodle. There's shading involved in everything with those other
doodles. Yeah. I think that this is the first thing in this episode that we're all in agreement on, that everything to do with the doodle was just nonsense. Larry didn't want to do it.
He didn't.
Yeah. He was trying to talk his way out of it. He's like, just a doodle, anything? Okay. So let's talk about the, before the speech, the interaction with Laverne Cox, who, Orange is the New Black's Laverne Cox.
Playing yourself?
Yes. There were a lot of those playing the actual people as themselves. Yeah. Poor Richard Kind doesn't get to play himself. He has to be Cousin Andy. by the way, just as an aside, I loved the mentions that Marty Funkhauser was off in China because, as we know, Bob Einstein, Super Dave, sorry, that's his brother, Dave Einstein, Super Dave, he actually passed away since the last season. So the mention of Marty Funkhauser not being around, I thought was like, okay, let's not forget the character.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I don't know if that means that we'll go to his funeral this season, but let's hope not. Anyway, the interaction with Laverne Cox. So, Rachel, how'd you feel about that?
So, I'm going to say some of this from my Larry moment.
Yeah, that's fine.
The big thing was everything about it was uncomfortable to me. The fact that Larry's lawyer Roger would even send him to do this, it boggles my mind. It's like, why would you trust Larry? He does not have a good history of being very articulate in this way. So why would you do this? And so,
you didn't think it was articulate when he talked about how he had a Gloria Steinem poster and how hot she was.
Yeah.
You didn't think that was good?
Oh, that was.
You didn't think that was appropriate for the setting?
No.
I guess we see the world differently.
Yeah, I guess we do. No, but I do think that the hug moment was on point, though, with Laverne and...
not hugging her.
Not hugging her, and then later when she reaches in and he doesn't hug her yet.
Yeah, well, I thought that was very funny because of the way that he freaked out so much when she came to give him a hug.
I was telling Rachel before we started to go live, I'm realizing how I need to be far more, like, attuned to the show and the minute details because, like, in the interaction they have when Laverne Cox mentioned she has a cold, I just thought it was just like fleeting comment.
Yeah, yeah.
But then lo and behold, it was literally like a big crux of the episode. So I'm realizing I have to pay attention to the little details sometimes because they'll pop back up.
And I love how she, like, Larry pretty much fumbles the entire exchange he has with her. And then when she's on stage or like when she goes to leave, she goes, okay, I know how I'm going to handle this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's like a callback. It's like, wow, that was brilliant.
She did a great job with that. I thought she was going to try to like save and be like, no, it's because she was like, no,
I thought she was going to, you know, give an intro that was, you know, how she really felt about him in that moment. So that was another moment where
I was
surprised.
And the crowd instantly is turning him, right? Just like, yeah, throwing all their fingers.
He was horrified by Laverne Cox.
Yeah,
it gave the impression that it's like, oh, no, I can't hug you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know? No gas. It was like from zero to throwing things, as much as possible.
Look, when you're in a room with Ira David, the odds of you throwing something are very high.
I know this now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm realizing that as well.
So obviously, we also have Alice in the audience, who's the whole reason he's doing it. She's a little bit uncomfortable that he's there. And I think that, you know, she does not feel like he honored really the nature of the agreement that they had. So then they're meeting with the lawyers. And I found their entire waiting for the elevator exchange and actual elevator exchange to just be the perfect representation of this show.
He can't touch her.
He realizes he can't touch her and she's choking. And he's like, where do I put my hands? I don't know where to do it. He's like, I'm already being sued. You know, I thought I was out of this last week and now I have this. And look, obviously it comes from the same mind. It's very reminiscent of the moment on Seinfeld when you find out that Susan, George's fiance, passes away from the toxic glue on licking their envelopes.
Right.
And it was just sort of like a, oh, yeah, well, I guess she's dead now.
Yeah, I guess she's dead, yeah.
I wanted to know what each of you thought about how that played out. Flobo, you first.
It's the fact that it involves scones, man. I don't know. Here's the thing. You have
the scones kill.
Yeah,
scones.
Thank you.
They kill people with their dryness.
Shout out to Jeff in the booth. I have the image of Susan falling ill from the toxic glue.
That's the one. Yeah, it was definitely an odd situation. You kind of understand because you're on this journey with Larry. Like, what can I possibly do if side-sitting makes things worse?
Yeah.
Just even touching anyone in passing. But now you murder somebody. So I don't know how that's even better.
Yeah.
Right? Lose.
I believe that's manslaughter.
Yeah, it actually is manslaughter.
Murder. That's not
right,
murder.
Right.
What did you think, James?
I saw, again, this is just the ante of the episode just went higher and higher and higher. Because it was funny, too, just even the interaction, as Rachel and I was doing this a moment ago, like the, why are you all the way up here trying to do the Heimlich? And he's down here. I'm like, no, don't do any of those things.
Yeah.
And then, like, the ultimate moment is when the doors open and there's a full, like, essentially, like, an audience looking, being like, why is she on the ground right now?
Right.
Yeah.
So, again, I just think it's just the humor in this is just unmatched.
Absolutely.
And Rachel, let me know what you thought, and that'll sort of start our final topic before we move into our other segments. Do you think she's dead?
No, I do not. I think it's going to be one of two things. I think that, I almost feel like she's going to try and spin this so that it makes him look even worse. Mm. But no, I think she's alive. But I think that she's going to kind of change the story so that, you know, it makes him look like he either forced her into
eating the scone. Yeah, like he attempted to kill her with the scone because he didn't want to settle. Interesting.
Or, like he poisoned her, maybe.
Wow. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think scones do kill with their dryness.
But do you think that she's dead?
Propaganda. Going on.
Hashtag fake news.
It's not real.
I agree with Rachel. I don't think that she's dead. I think that would be. I mean, again, I don't know because this show is just throwing me for loops. I would imagine that she's not dead, but I do think she's going to find some way to kind of spin this. I'm also always shocked too that she even engages with him. Because I remember they had like a little interaction before they got on the elevator.
Correct.
Before he got the scone.
She even says,
let's get the lawyers. I mean, she keeps on talking. She's like, you know what? I am kind of hungry. I'm like, girl, you know how this man operates. Don't talk to him for any reason.
Yeah. If you're hungry and you go for a scone, it's not going to end well.
No, obviously, you'd be on the ground.
Look, and by the way, if she's dead, that doesn't mean the lawsuit's going to go away.
Too
so
sure,
I think the lawsuit continues, but I am convinced that Alice is no longer with us. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think even if she's dead, it's going to be other people stepping forward and now trying to get him for this. But also, I feel like in all fairness to Alice, she did try and say to Larry, hey, we shouldn't talk. But like the second she took the scone and ate it, that's on her. Like
True.
Her choking on a scone, like that's
what a way to go out though, man.
Yeah.
Flobo, yo. Your final thought on whether or not Alice is dead or alive.
She has to be alive. If she dies the way that, that happens now, like, how do you root for Larry? I mean, what do you do? Like, because now...
He didn't intend to kill her. Well, it's the same point. That's why I brought it up with George Costanza. We all still love George Costanza, even though he wasn't upset when his fiancée died.
True.
You know, he was just like, well, you want to get coffee? I think that's how Larry would feel.
I'm just saying, you can't start off a spite coffee shop and, like, kill your test market. I'd be like a weird. Would it even open then? I'd have no idea.
No, that's a great. That's a great point. All right, so we only have a few moments, but before we get to our curb correction corner, there's a little bit of news. I know you have an item, and Rachel has an item.
TV news.
Oh yes, she plays on-screen character Cheryl David, but Cheryl Hines actually directed this episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. And I guess made the rounds on both the talk you said and also the Today Show.
Yep.
This talking about how it means in season 10 to direct such a. What's the word I should say? A formidable franchise. Oh, alliteration right. points.
Alliteration.
Yeah, so check that out when you have a moment.
And tying into HBO, they did well at the WGA Awards, which, Rachel, you were covering for AfterBuzz TV.
I was. I was actually there on behalf of Popcorn Talk.
Oh,
and, yeah, so I was there. HBO, there was this big fear about them, you know, what was going to happen after Game of Thrones ended. They pretty much swept every, like, a ton of awards.
Yeah, because some of the winners.
Chernobyl won for original long form.
Yep, that's a feel-good one for the whole family. Sure.
Watchmen for new series. Series, comedy series was Barry.
I do love Barry,
and then we had Succession for drama series. Yeah,
cool. So it's all the fun shows for the kids. Great.
Yeah.
Well, good for HBO. And look, I mean, they continue to operate at a very high level. At some point, you know, you look, there's always going to be a few shows that don't quite take, but it's great to see, you know, that they're still able to, you know, at least be recognized for all that. Let's talk about our other segment. I will start with you, James, for our curb correction corner.
Mm-hmm. So my curb correction corner this week has got to be, harkening back to what I mentioned earlier today, the use of the trash can. I wholly agree.
I agree with you.
Like, don't have it on the floor unless you want me to use it. I will have one caveat, though. I do second guess myself if there's no liner in the trash can.
Yeah.
So I do side with the his attorney a bit. Like you said earlier,
I wouldn't have thrown the apple in
like,
there.
Yeah, because it's like it's a food item and like not. So I feel like the apple juice is going to get in there and like bugs or whatever. So I do. I will give a little caveat that I will second guess myself if there isn't a liner in a trash can where I'm like, eh.
Sure.
But paper. Yeah. Can go into anything.
Rachel, you alluded to your curb correction corner.
Yeah, just really quickly. It's the moment when he's talking to Laverne and he legitimately says, P.S., I know somebody who's transitioning. And
Which, by the way, that's enough right there. But then it goes worse.
Awkward.
It goes so much further.
It was awkward enough there, but then dot, dot, dot. So how do you explain organ donors and, like, I'm not even going to go into the details, but just what he was asking. I was like, Larry, no.
Nah, bro.
No.
Absolutely.
And Flubbo.
And that sweater game, man. If it gives you that many bad memories, there's always Goodwill, Salvation Army, there's those bins outside the grocery stores. You don't have to give it to Richard Lewis because it may come back to bite you in the butt.
Also, mine ties into Richard Lewis. You don't need to go to the man's wake, his aunt's wake, to give the credit card. You know what? Just pay next time.
Literally.
Yeah, that's fine. Anyway, we are out of time, speaking of which, but we will see you next Tuesday at 2 p.m. No, sorry, next Monday at 2 p.m. I forgot what day it was. Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific. That's 5 Eastern. Until then, you can find me online you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at ChristianDNZ. And you'll see Rachel and I tomorrow, which is Tuesday, and it will be at 2 o'clock over on the Popcorn Talk Network doing Retro Anatomy of a Movie. We'll be covering Stripes. But Rachel, other than that, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Rachel Goodman or on my author Instagram account at Rachel Radner Author.
James Maple.
And you can find me anywhere at Terrell James Maple. Holla at your boy.
And Flobo, new content every week.
Flobito.com is a website, new content every week. But actually, you always check me out on Twitter, at Flobo Boys on Twitter as well.
And you can find us Thursdays at 9 for the Star Trek Picard After Show.
Yeah.
But until next week. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.